الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, please recite الصلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of our beloved Imam. Recite the second one louder.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Inshallah, each and every one of us gets to visit the beautiful shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi in Najaf. Recite the third one louder.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
When they put this poster up, it brought back memories of the shrine. Whoever's been there knows the beauty of the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi. The first time I visited, I remember one of the streets, one of the alleys in Najaf, which leads to the beautiful shrine of our beloved Imam, is called Shari'ur Rasul. There's a curve in that street when you walk towards the Haram. So originally you don't see the Haram. While you walk, suddenly you see the big, beautiful, golden dome of the Haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi. And once you see that, for the first second, it just hits your heart. These are not my words. When I had that experience, I shared that with one of the brothers. It was a group of us, Hawza students, who had visited. And he said, "That's not just you. Sheikh Abbas Qummi, in his noble book, Mafatih al-Janan, has written this down, and he has said, when you see the dome for the first time, you're trying to look for words to express your feelings, and here are a few lines of poetry that you can use at that time, in that moment." It's been a very beautiful evening, the celebration of the birth of our beloved Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi. With the artwork, with the creativity, with the eloquence spoken by the brothers and the sisters, which I think deserves its own session to talk about. Whoever has participated in this event, by making use of their talent for Amir al-Mu'mineen, for the Ahlul Bayt, whether it is eloquently speaking of the love that we should have for them, whether it is eloquently speaking the character of the Ahlul Bayt and Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi, or it is trying to show the activism that needs to be created more and more in us due to our following our beloved Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi, which all of those were found in the poetry, all of them are going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a shadow of a doubt. If anybody has any talent in this regard, whether it's media or it is literature, it is poetry, a beautiful voice to be able to present that will cause the hearts of the believers and those who hear it to come closer to the Ahlul Bayt, they should most definitely make use of that. That is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way to do thank and shukr of Allah for that blessing is to use it in this way. especially in this language, in the English language, which we don't have rich poetry as we have in some of the other languages, like in Arabic, in Farsi, in Urdu, which there's plenty of beautiful poetry, and on a daily basis there's additional poetry that adds on to that. But in the English language, I was mesmerized to hear the beautiful poetry of the brothers and the sisters. Honestly, it created an atmosphere. I hope the work continues. I expect to see more of that. I hope the poets are more in contact with one another and they're able to share work to be able to help that. One point in regards to that, the more you increase your knowledge about the Ahlul Bayt and your understanding, because that's the raw material, once you know that information, then your artistic talent flows automatically and presents that information a lot better. And therefore, increasing that knowledge is very important. I felt it necessary for me to say these words in regards to the poetry that was recited and also other talents, including media, that was spoken about. Now, about the occasion, I've been told to discuss some of the merits of Amirul Mu'minin, salamullah alayhi. I've been asked to talk about, try to describe our beloved Mawla, our beloved master, Amirul Mu'minin, salawatullah alayhi. But in order to be able to describe someone, to define someone, to explain the merits, to express what one knows about a person, a phenomenon, a concept, whatever it may be, first one needs to have a good understanding, a full understanding of what they are going to express. If I don't fully understand something, how can I describe it? How would I be able to do that? I need to first understand. And then also, the words that I want to speak have got to be able to carry that message. They need to be a medium through which this information is conveyed. And if either of those two are not there, then there's not really a point, or it's not going to be possible to describe. For example, in the Holy Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about Tawheed, which is the most profound concept in Islam, as we have hadith, if you want to summarize all of Islam in one word, it will be Tawheed. That's the deepest concept. You can spend your entire life thinking and trying to understand Tawheed, you will still not get to the extent of it, and there's no end to that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to speak of that in the Holy Qur'an, we are told by the Ahlul Bayt and the scholars who understand the works of the Ahlul Bayt that the words can't carry that meaning. The words are too limited to be able to carry that concept, that understanding, that reality that it's trying to discuss and trying to express. When it comes to Amirul Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi, who am I to understand who Amirul Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi, is? The hadith says, the Holy Prophet says, no one knows who you are except for Allah and for me. No one else knows who Amirul Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi, is. Who can know who Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi is? There's an interesting poetry in Farsi. The poet, I'm not very good by the way with poetry myself, the poet's name is Shahriyar, he's known as Shahriyar. He was an unknown poet. He wrote this poetry about Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi. And the poetry was accepted by the Imam. How was this understood? One of the Maraja in Qum, Ayatullah Najafi Mar'ashi, who had no clue who this person by the name of Shahriyar is, he has a dream. He has a dream in which Amirul Mu'mineen and the Ahlul Bayt are sitting, And Amir al-Mu'mineen calls upon Shahriyar to come and recite your poetry. And he comes and he recites that poetry. And Ayatollah Marashi Najafi writes down, when he wakes up, he writes that down. He realizes this is important. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh has approved of the poetry of this person. He wakes up, he remembers the line of poetry, he writes it down. And he tells his people, find me this poet by the name of Shahriyar. And they go through some effort and they're able to find him. They bring him to Qum. He tells him, can you recite your poetry? He says, what poetry? He says, the poetry about Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, how do you know I have a poetry about Amir al-Mu'mineen? No one knows I have a poetry about Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, I had a dream and this is the line in your poetry. And the line, one of the very important lines in the poetry, translate to say, what am I to call you? I can't call you God because that would be shirk. And I can't call you a human being. I'm wondering what to call you, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. How can I describe, how can I understand, and how can words carry who Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, is? We can't come to the depths of the understanding of who Amir al-Mu'mineen is, but we want to go over a few points in regard to our beloved Imam. A few areas, a few characteristics that our beloved Imam had, which are very important. One of them, one of those qualities of our beloved Imam, is expressed by the Holy Prophet, a hadith that all of you, all of us know. The Holy Prophet has been quoted to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa alih, that, we said salawat. Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. Faman arada al madina falyatiha min babiha. I am the city of knowledge. And Ali is the door to that city. If you are interested in entering the city, the gate is where you're going to enter from. You need to come through Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. The knowledge that Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, had. Let me say a few words in regards to this. We can't even understand the knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen. What did he know? What is the knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen? There's a hadith narrated by Sulaym ibn Qais al-Hilali, one of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah alayhi, the one who has put together a very noble and glorious book that's known by his name, Kitabu Sulaym ibn Qais al-Hilali. It contains a lot of valuable information in regards to Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Holy Prophet, and the true teachings of the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen. He asks the Imam about the information that the Holy Prophet provided for people, because at that time, he says, I see there's contradictions. Some of the companions say one thing, other companions say a different thing. Some say one thing, I see Salman and Abu Dharr and Miqdad saying something else, and when I come to you, I see your words conform and approve of what I hear from Salman and Abu Dharr. Could you explain to me why that is? Are these companions lying? Are they attributing lies to the Holy Prophet? What is it? Why is this happening? Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi explains why that happened, what's the cause of that. Towards the end of that hadith, the Imam starts to describe his relationship with the Holy Prophet in regards to knowledge. He says, the Holy Prophet used to have two sessions every day with me, one in the morning, one in the evening. Sometimes it was in my house, the house of Fatima salamullah alayha, and sometimes it was in his house. He says, when it was over my house, Lady Fatima and Imam Hassan and Imam al-Hussein were allowed to stay and to listen to the words of the Holy Prophet. But when it was over his house, the wives of the Holy Prophet had to leave. It was a private session. No one else was included in this. On a daily basis, this used to happen. He says, I used to ask questions. When I asked questions, the Holy Prophet responded. And when I went silent and I had no more questions to ask, the Holy Prophet began to give me knowledge, give me information without me asking for it. This is one area of knowledge through which maybe we have a book that the Imam of our time, Imam al-Hujjah, Jalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, carries. It's known by the name of our beloved Imam, Kitabu Ali. They know it, they call it by Kitabu Ali. Which there's descriptions of this book in the various ahadith that we have. This is part of the knowledge that Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi has. Part of the knowledge of Amirul Mu'mineen is something that's a little more difficult for us to comprehend. We can understand someone being a student of someone else, going to them, and that person providing knowledge and information, describing, explaining, and then taking that in, comprehending it, and learning that. And remembering that, as the hadith says, the Holy Prophet prayed that that knowledge never leaves Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, I never forgot even a letter of what the Holy Prophet spoke of. That's understandable. We can understand that. But there's this other knowledge that Amirul Mu'mineen has that's a little difficult to understand. On the deathbed of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the Holy Prophet called Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali, come close. Amirul Mu'mineen went close to him. The Holy Prophet whispered, apparently, certain words. People didn't hear this. It's a private conversation. Others are sitting, including the first couple of Khalifas. They were present. They see this. Amirul Mu'mineen goes close. The Holy Prophet gets close to him. No one hears that conversation. People get curious, especially the Khulafa. They want to know what type of conversation this was. So after they leave, like, Ali, what did the Holy Prophet tell you? Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi responds. He says, he opened 1,000 doors of knowledge, which each door of that 1,000 door opens 1,000 doors of knowledge, and each of the knowledge that is found in those doors is key to 1,000 questions. Do the math yourself. In a couple of minutes, in a matter of a couple of minutes, Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi says, this is the knowledge that was given to me. This is not something that we can really understand. This is another area of the knowledge of Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. A third area of knowledge is something that we absolutely have no clue what it is. Recite a salawat, please. We kind of know of this from a story of one of the ulama who is also one of the urafa, the true urafa. The urafa, the ones that are true urafa. There's a lot of phony ones, there's a lot of people that claim to be arif. But the ones who are truly arif, the ones who have truly elevated their souls, purified the souls, to reach a level where this material world can no longer contain them. they say each of them has got a story. It's interesting, all of them, according to what they say. Again, I have no clue. According to what they say, all of them have a connection with Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. One of them who is, I'm quoting, there's no need to mention names, he says, after purifying himself and after progressing towards spirituality, it still doesn't give us an idea what this knowledge that Amir al-Mu'mineen has is, but it's about how he gives that. When this person wants to reach a certain elevation in faith, which has to do with some form of ma'rifah and knowledge that increases, he has a mukashafa, a vision, a real life vision. It's not a dream, but it's not something material. What it is, only those who've experienced it can say. In which Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, gives him a cup of honey. And once he takes that in, then the world seems different, the understanding that he has different. What type of knowledge is this that is given in this form? We have no clue. One area in regards to Amir al-Mu'mineen is his knowledge. Another area that Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhim, is known for, and it's very extremely important for us to understand, is the worships of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhim. By worships, what I want to refer to are the worships that we know as worships. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen, as I said, is a character we really don't understand. Because one strike of his sword has been said to be more valuable than the worship of all human beings and jinn put together. ضربة علي يوم الخندق أفضل من عبادة الثقلين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This act, which we don't see as worship, is better than the worship of all human beings and all jinn put together. Well, that's something we don't really understand. That requires its own lecture. I'm trying to describe another quality, a different set of qualities. Sometimes we talk about the chivalry of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, the bravery of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, on the battlefield. But these are some areas that there's a reason I want to focus on these. The worships of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah alayhi. We have no clue. Brothers and sisters, please, please try to spend time, try to understand the heritage that we have from our beloved Imams, especially from Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. When you go to Dua Kumail programs, don't think that this is something you just read and you get it over with, and whether it's a beautiful voice or a voice that you're trying to wait for the dua to come to an end, try to understand it and try to speak those words with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a continuous basis, trying to use those words and speak to Allah. That understanding, that spirituality is gradually going to penetrate that soul. The dua of Simat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which is one of those duas, it really requires a mufassir to come and describe to us what Amir al-Mu'mineen is even talking about. It's one of those very difficult duas to understand. We have a series of du'as that we read, what we have from Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. That's one area of worship, the du'as that he used to recite. Also, one of the imams we very well know of his worships is the imam that's known as Sayyidu Sajideen, Zainul Abideen. Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, salamullah alayhima, is an imam that's known for worship. He has Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah filled with du'as, which is not even all of the du'as of the Imam. He's an Imam that used to spend plenty of time in prostration to the extent that his forehead would develop excess skin and they had to kind of cut it according to hadith every once in a while. He spent plenty of time in worship. They say when he would stand in worship, they would see him. He would be so still when the breeze would come. The only thing that would move were the clothes of the Imam. He would be still standing and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah
Muhammad.
This is from the perspective of using like his hands or arms. He had that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, say when he used to come to certain words in the prayer, his body used to shiver. When you got closer to him, you would see that. Sometimes he would repeat the line, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ plenty of times. Only and only you do we worship, and only you do we seek help from. He understood that. They came to the Imam and said, Imam, you worship a lot. You spend a lot of time in worship. We have not seen this form of worship. The Imam responded by saying, you think this is worship? You should have seen Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The prostrations of Amirul Mu'mineen at night, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ahadith say 1,000 rak'ah every night during a period of his life at least. The worships of Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. That's an area, that's one of the qualities of our beloved Imam. Another quality which is very important of our beloved Imam is zuhd. The zuhd of Amirul Mu'mineen, the manifestation that it had in the Imam is something that is not found anywhere else. How he was so detached of the dunya and he kept away from the dunya. The Imam that through his work, he at a time had plenty of gold in his house. Through his work, he was a very capable man. But all of that went to charity. He didn't have any attachment. There's a hadith that says Amirul Mu'mineen, one of the things that he used to do was to cultivate the land and to build palm trees, plant them. Build orchards, plant palm trees in them. He used to dig the wells. There's not too much water there. And after all of that work, where it's complete, he used to tell Imam al-Hasan, Ya Bunay, quickly, let's make this a waqf before shaitan comes in and makes us want to have this for ourselves. Charity. After, right after the work is done and complete, all of it's charity. And plenty of orchards outside of Medina belong to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, was very capable. But the zuhd that he had, that he stayed away from the dunya, when he became the governor, the clothes that he had, he constantly, if it would get ripped, he would be sewing it. He wouldn't buy something new. The bread that he had sometimes would be out of barley, the worst bread you could imagine that was so hard to break. They say Amirul Mu'mineen salawatullah alayhi, the one who took out the door of Khaybar, it was so hard to break, he had to put it on his knee and use his knee to break it. He couldn't break it with his hands. Okay. This is the bread he used to consume. The shoes that he had, the lifestyle that he had. They say one of the last nights of his life, when he was over one of his daughter's homes, they brought bread and milk and salt. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi said, why are there two things to have with bread? One suffices, one is enough. And I wish that you take away the milk, we'll just have bread and salt. Detachment of the dunya. He had no attachment to the dunya. Once he was sewing his shoe, and they came and there was a discussion about government, Amir al-Mu'mineen said, ruling over you is less valuable to me than this shoe that's so ripped and sewn that there's no value in the market at all. This is how he felt about the dunya. And he would constantly remind himself, when he, at a time in Kufa, he would go at night, carry bread on his shoulder, carry bread and probably other food items to the poor, that, by the way, used to curse Amir al-Mu'mineen. And they would say it's because of him that they are in this situation. He would carry food to them every night, and they didn't know who it is. He was walking in the street, and he sees this woman cursing Ali because her husband got killed in one of those wars. And he says, Ali does not know what we are going through, and so on and so forth. Amir al-Mu'mineen carries what she has. He goes to her house. She has children, orphans. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh gets the oven ready. He gets the dough and everything ready. Once all of that is ready and the bread is baking, he starts coming and he plays with the children. He acts like a sheep. He has the children on his shoulders, walking around and even making the sound of a sheep to make these children laugh. And when he's playing, when he's fooling and he's trying to fix the oven, he feels that heat. He reminds himself. He says, Ali, feel the heat of the fire and remember your responsibilities. This is also another area, the zuhd. The last one, which is very important, and Amir al-Mu'mineen is very well known for, is the adl and the justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. What people could not take was the justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. Amir al-Mu'mineen was so just, he said, if they would give me the entire heavens and the earth to take the outer shell of one grain of wheat from an ant, out of oppression, I would not accept. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the justice that he has, and he worked for, and he says, that's the reason why I accepted to rule over the Muslim Ummah after 25 years of being deprived of that right. He says, if it hadn't been for hudur al-hadir, for those who are present and support, and the oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken from the ulama that they don't remain silent, paraphrasing here, and the oppression seen by the oppressors and seeing the cry of the oppressed, we're not allowed to remain silent. If it wasn't because of this, I would leave Khilafah. The reason why Amir al-Mu'mineen accepted it is justice. These are a few areas, a few different qualities of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, a beloved Imam that we are celebrating the anniversary of his birth. But brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. We are supposed to be the Shia of Ali, not just the lovers of Ali. Not every Shia of, not every lover of Ali is a Shia of Ali. We've got to become the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The problem Amir al-Mu'mineen had in carrying out the justice was having Shia around him. Having people that would carry out what he says. Having people that would believe in that cause. Having people that would sacrifice for that cause. That's what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi needed. That's what the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, needs. The Imam, it's a famous line everybody's heard. We're not waiting on him, he's waiting on us. He's always been ready. All of the Imams were ready. We aren't ready. We need to become the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. We've got to try to cultivate these characteristics in us. They're all one package, brothers and sisters. We can't consider ourselves the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen and we have almost zero knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Except for maybe a little bit of some of the battles that he fought. Is that what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi wanted to teach us? How he fought? The words that Amir al-Mu'mineen has given us in regards to our personal lives, in regards to our family life, in regards to our social lives, in regards to justice, we need to understand that. We need to learn it. The worship of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, how do I resemble Amir al-Mu'mineen? He used to stay up at night and worship. I stay up at night, go to shisha places. I do things at home that I'm not supposed to be. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, the verses that were recited, la tulhi rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wala bay'un an dhikrillah. Men who even tijara, even business does not cause them to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis? Even in our prayers, our mind is somewhere else. We're not remembering God. We don't even know who God is. We don't know who Amir al-Mu'mineen is to know who God is. The zuhd of Amir al-Mu'mineen, detachment of the dunya. We claim to be the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. How can we even think about that? How can I think about that? Hadith says when the Imam of our time comes, we have this in Hadith, one of the companions comes to, I believe it's Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi. He talks to the Imam about the coming of the upriser of the Ahlul Bayt. He talks to the Imam about the government of the Ahlul Bayt. Saying that I wish we lived under your government. I wish we didn't have these tyrants. And we would feel what your government is like. The Imam said, enjoy what you have right now. Because when our government is set up, if you're truly our Shia, you're not going to have all of this dunya. You're going to be working with zuhd, staying away from the glamour of the dunya. And the justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. How much work do we do for justice? How important is justice in our lives? The brothers and sisters in their poetry, in their talks, in their presentations talked about this briefly. How much do we contribute to justice? How important do we think that is? Why is it that when we see some of these demonstrations, some of the processions outside of embassies of oppressive countries and governments, the numbers are very low? The Muslim population in the UK and in London is a very, very large population. What's up with us? What's wrong with us? I really don't understand. The footage I get on TV, on YouTube, on the internet, of the people present in some of these processions, sorry, but it's ridiculous. Knowing the number of Muslims and Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi in London, and then you look at that, the crowd that's present, doesn't add up. Doesn't add up. If we celebrate the birth of Amirul Mu'mineen, if we speak eloquent words of his love, which we need to, and we need to have that, that's a good start. But we shouldn't stop there. We have got to try to become the companion of Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, such that when Amirul Mu'mineen would look at us, he would smile. When the Imam of our time would see us passing by, according to hadith, he's amongst us, he's not in some weird world. No, he's right here on earth. The hadith says he even comes around, he may have even come into your shop or your house or your store, you just didn't recognize him. But when he comes around and he sees us, he smiles, being pleased. Like the companions of Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayhi, pleased him on the day of Ashura in the battlefield of Karbala. Where that man, I hope we become like this, by becoming the Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen, that man who stood before Imam al-Husayn and took arrows with his body to protect his Imam, when he was praying and when he fell down, he looked back to Imam al-Husayn and said, "Afaradit." Are you pleased with me? We have got to move in that direction, brothers and sisters. We've got to gain the knowledge of Amirul Mu'mineen. Try to become worshippers the way Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi was. Try to have that zuhd in us. Stay away from the glamour of this dunya, the way the brother explained. What is this? What's the glamour? What's the end of it? We're gonna die. How many years, how many days are you going to benefit from it? It's a hadith that the Ahlul Bayt, and I'll end with this. They gave charity, and one of the companions that was sitting there said, "Imam, we're only left with this much." The Imam said, "Actually, this is gone. What we have saved is what we gave away." We hope, we pray, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of Amirul Mu'mineen, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respects, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his right to hasten the return of our beloved Imam al-Hujjah ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that he helps us purify ourselves to become the true and close companions of our beloved Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all who help the cause of Islam, especially the ulama, especially the maraja and more so for our beloved leader, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who've passed away, of all their sins, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with all the hajat. There's plenty of believers here, elsewhere, throughout the globe that have needs, physical, economical, spiritual needs that we all have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, especially Amirul Mu'mineen, to grant us all and all believers of the hajat and the needs that they have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of Amirul Mu'mineen, the man of justice, and by the rights of Imam Al-Hujjah, the one who will spread justice on the face of the globe, to relieve all the people of the world, especially the Muslims and especially the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, of the oppressions that they are facing, inshallah. Bin Nabiya wa Alih, Rahimallah man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allah!